Sounds good.
What's up, Charleston? This is the Healthy Charleston Podcast, hosted by yours truly, Eve, Gigi, and Dr.
Wes Hendricks.
Where we talk about all things health related. We're going to really dig into all sorts of information and all sorts of terrible misinformation. So this week, last week I interviewed Wes, and you know, we actually had one person listen. There was actually, I just checked, there was 40 people downloaded it. I don't know what that means. I'm not sure 40 people listen. Maybe they listen for like 1 second. They're like, this is terrible. I'm turning this off.
They're like, this was an accident. Wrong podcast.
This isn't even about health anymore. So we're going to switch it up. And he's going to interview me for this week. And then we've already got a few cool guests lined up. I've even told Wes this for the next couple weeks. So we hope to have some really cool stuff in the future. And we're going to let Wes take it from here.
So I guess you're on the hot spot now, and I get to ask you questions, huh?
Yes. It's going to be awesome.
Let's start from the beginning here. So when is your birthday? What's the day and month?
September 19th, 1982.
All right. So September back in 82 from now. How did you start there and get from here? And kind of I want more bullet points here. Like, how did we get to the point where you're now, you know, owner of Made to Move, you know, you're doing this PT entrepreneur thing also, like, kind of let's get from start to finish more or less, and then we can kind of pick it apart.
Man. Okay. Like, all right. So, I was born and raised in Charleston. My parents are both from Switzerland. And so I had, you know, an unusual upbringing that's kind of a mix of European style and, you know, a true Southern upbringing, which, you know, I don't know how that meshed really well, but it, you know, seemed to do okay. And I had, when I was only child for 10 years, and then I had a special needs little sister. She was born healthy, and she actually got spinal meningitis when she was 3 months old. It was a viral kind that was actually pretty darn serious and ended up having a solid amount of brain damage and developmental disabilities. She was deaf. She had cerebral palsy. So obviously super tough on the family and kind of changed the way my childhood was, in my opinion, for the better. She was amazing. And my parents dealt with it really well. You know, it's definitely a huge reason that I'm a physical therapist today. You know, it's just because, you know, the impact that her physical therapist had on her and kind of vice versa was kind of a really special relationship. You know, like I said, she was developmentally disabled. So she had probably more along the lines of like a 6 to 10 month old mental capacity for her entire life. But just the connection that I saw that they had, like she was always super excited when she came, and physical therapy was super painful for her because like stretching, you know, spastic muscles is not fun. You know what I mean? But like every time the therapist walked in, she was super happy. Every time she left, she was super happy, gave her a hug. So it was cool to kind of be part of that journey. And I was also like super active growing up. I played a lot of soccer, and I dislocated my kneecap when I was during my JV soccer tryouts, like dislocated my knee and it got stuck laterally, stuck. So just stayed there. So my first encounter with my coach was me basically cussing him out on the field. And this was like a non-traumatic thing. I just cut on it wrong and it just, my kneecap went left and my body went right and it just got stuck there. So they had this like, you know, emergency room pick me up, gave me multiple shots of like morphine. And then I barely remember, but they just kind of straightened my knee and went back into place. And so I had to rehab it a bunch and ended up doing it 3 or 4 more times. Eventually had a lateral release surgery and I've had multiple issues for the left knee. But, you know, luckily through physical therapy and multiple other needs, I'm pretty much unlimited in what I can do, which is nice. I mean, there's still some issues, but I'm able to run CrossFit, play soccer, do all that stuff, kind of no problems. But so, I went to high school, decided to go to College of Charleston. I always knew I wanted to be a PT. I really never really even gave anything else a shot. Did 3 years of undergrad, 3 years of PT school. Thought I wanted to do pediatrics, ended up doing that for 2 years. Worked for the school system, did some baby net stuff, super rewarding, but super taxing. And I knew I wanted to own my own business, and doing that in a pediatric kind of model was just, it just ended up not being directly for me. And I wanted to be able to do orthopedics too. So I had to be able to meld those two worlds. So eventually I got a job offer at a local PT clinic, like an outpatient ortho clinic, and was able to work there for a year, opened up my own insurance-based practice, grew that practice from zero to, you know, about 6,000 patients in a year in about 4 years, and then decided to start all over again and do a cash pay biz, you know, and, you know, for multiple reasons I'm sure we'll get into, but just, you know, wasn't super excited about insurance-based system. There's a lot of burnout for my employees and PTs, and patients weren't really getting the care that I thought they deserved. And then once I went all cash, I just had a lot more freedom to kind of like, you know, when I started Made to Move, just freedom to kind of use my brain and do more things. And just more things have kind of grown from there, whether it was PT on demand and the startup, or even this kind of PT entrepreneur Facebook group. You know, it's just been a lot more enjoyable and rewarding. It's just gave me a lot more creativity to do more things.
Okay. So at what point in time, because we talk about a little being, let's say, the creativity aspect there, and now that you have the freedom to kind of do what you want here, and you're not confined to insurance, you're not confined to, you know, potentially based on like what insurance, you know, that patient has, you know, you're not confined to what the PCP is telling you can or can't do, or the area you can treat. Now that you have that freedom, at what point, like, did you have that, we'll say that paradigm shift, where you were just kind of like, oh, you know, exercise, you know, proper training, you know, maybe I don't need to do so much, you know, hands-on work, needle work, right? Like, and we can kind of circle back and where I'm like, bring everyone up to speed on what I'm talking about there, but I'm more or less just being selfish and just trying to have a conversation with you here on it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean,
listeners later.
There wasn't, I would think, there wasn't like this aha moment where it was like, oh man, all of a sudden everything has changed. It really was an evolution for me. Okay. I mean, what started the conversation was, honestly, it was CrossFit. Like, okay, I joined a CrossFit gym and they started opening my eyes, like just little things like, hey, you should squat below parallel. And I just started, you know, I'd been told a certain thing, and really your entire life, you're just told, you go to school, they tell you what's true and what's false. You believe them. And you just go forward. And it's funny, like, I started thinking, it's like, well, why am I believing that? Maybe I should go back and do some research, or maybe I should be open to new things. And CrossFit definitely started that journey. And, you know, my evolution was like, started doing CrossFit, started researching stuff more, kind of found who Kelly Starrett was, started going down that path. And then just realized that there was kind of a, better is not the right way, but just a different way to treat people. Yeah. And then I just started learning more information and just started like finding new people like Quinn Hennick, and started finding new people, like new mentors, and just started like digging more into research. And then it just, I swear it evolves every couple of months. And it's like the rule of thumb now is the more effort you have to put into something, the more rewards you're going to get. And just like, that's just, I feel like a universal rule. If something's super passive, you're not going to get as much out of it as if it's super active and super hard. And that's all I got. There's more, but I figured that's good for now.
So I'm making an assumption here, you know, when you started, either when you worked at that, that insurance-based PT place, or when you started your own, were you seeing, was it kind of like a typical style PT, like, you know, seeing patients every 15, 25 minutes, you know, giving them their exercise? What did that look like to where you're at now with Made to Move? Like, did that evolution match up with the kind of like your education evolution? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'll try to answer the question. You can redirect me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in the insurance, I probably saw one every 30 minutes.
Okay.
And I don't think it was that bad. And there's some people, because I was the boss, I could see once an hour. I got to choose who, you know, who I wanted to see for how long. I had some, you know, control over that. But I always thought, like, back then I thought that the magic was done in the, like, eval room and, like, on the table, right? Like, it was done with my hands.
Yeah.
You know, and then the paradigm shift was like, no, the, or like, or yeah, with my hands is where the magic was done. And then you would go seal it, you know, and go do accessory work in the gym. And now it's like, no, the real work happens in the gym and the manual stuff is kind of the accessory work. And I think that was the big paradigm shift that kind of happened from where I was an insurance-based business and when I started doing Made to Move. And also just getting time back with the patient, actually just like sitting down and talking to them. And like, I think that's magical above all, right? It's just being able to sit and like, even your story today, you just be able to sit and talk to somebody and really dig into what's going on and be able to do exactly what you felt was right for that patient. Not like, you know, how many units can I bill or will my boss get mad if I send this person away? You know what I mean? Like it was, I think that was the most powerful tool for sure.
So then at what point were you like, I need to be in a gym. I need to have a gym. I need access to weights, you know, actual strength training, real corrective exercise. What do you call it? Real corrective exercise.
Yeah.
You know, actually applying a real stimulus. Like at what point in time were you like, when you were deciding on Made to Move, how did you like come to the conclusion you wanted to be in a strength and conditioning facility?
Yeah. I mean, I was lucky even beforehand. We were inside of a Globo gym. So I always So I always used some form of gym equipment. But honestly, with CrossFit and then just realizing that a lot of these patterns, like, which I did, I still think it's crazy. I didn't know like hip hinging and squatting. Like I didn't even know how to teach that stuff, man. Like I had no idea how to properly squat for most of my life. Like it's pretty new to me, you know? And I just think, you know, I mean, it's just thinking about that even now in hindsight blows my mind. Cause that's all I really teach, right? I teach people how to hip hinge. Yeah. I teach people how to press. I teach people how to pull. And before we were just doing it just because like someone told me a leg press was good to activate the VMO. And that's what I did, you know?
Yeah.
So again, I it's just been this small evolutionary shift, but just realizing that, just like you said, the stimulus that's needed to really make a change is load, right? However, that it could be with a barbell, could be with a dumbbell, could be with just your own body weight, but that's where the stimulus comes from.
So you didn't know about hip hinging. It just blows my mind. And I know you work with like a lot of PT students, or I know you, I think you have a, what would her official title be right now? Is she an intern? Is she a
yeah. Well, yeah. Let's go intern, shadower, extraordinaire. Yep.
Yeah. Extraordinaire, more or less. You know, and she's just going to be a small sample size, but are PT students now learning like how to hip hinge, how to squat, how to teach to their patients correctly or no?
I would say some are, because when I was in school, I can't remember one person who was talking about what we're talking about, not one. And now there's probably four or five in every class. So it's better, but obviously there's 62 people in the class, right? Like very few of them. And it's really just because of the evolution of CrossFit and people talking about Olympic weightlifting, right? Like, yeah, man, that does blow my mind, right? Like, I didn't know what a hip hinge was. I didn't know that was in the thing. Like, I was just like, don't round your back, or like, that's all I knew. I didn't even know how to teach that.
So then with CrossFit, did you like just try it one day and you're like, I'm hooked, I'm going back 5 days a week? Or was it like, I'll try, like, how did you, like, especially with a PT where you're like, you can't squat below parallel, hip hinging, I need to be leg pressing. Like, how did you even like, get into CrossFit, start CrossFit?
So my wife drugged me in to see to Robert's class. She's like, you need to try this. I'm like, this sounds stupid. I'm not doing this.
Was it in Daniel Island or was it the downtown
gym? Yeah, it was the Daniel Island gym, you know, and it was, yeah, it was over there in the Publix parking lot. And it was just like, once I went in for one session, I was like, man, this is fun. Like, cause you're in the gym and when you're all just doing bicep curls and bench press, like it's kind of boring. You're in there for hour, 15 minutes. You don't really sweat. This was like 20 minutes of just like awesomeness. And I was like, I am totally hooked on this. You know what I mean? And it just, the intensity is what drew me to it. And then just being able to challenge myself, not mentally, but physically as well.
Yeah. Do you remember your first CrossFit workout? Like what you guys did that day?
No, I mean, I remember rowing, like some sort of like rowing for time and like some sort of like, I don't think it was thrusters, but it was like back squats or something. Cause he was like, you need to go lower than that. I'm like, no, I'm not allowed to. And we got into that whole discussion that day. I'm not allowed to. I'll hurt my knees. Don't make me do it. I mean, oh God, that was only like 5-6 years ago. Like that's just, it's shameful for me to say. I should be in the shame corner.
So, but do you think these PT students that, you know, these four or five, these rogue PT students in their classes, do you think the, or do you know, like, are schools teaching this, or is this just because we have the evolution of like Instagram, Facebook, people like Quinn, people like Kelly, you know, people like Gray Cook? Like, are schools coming around to this? I know chiropractic school isn't.
No, no way. Not even close, man. Like, and even they're probably getting a dose of it, but they don't think it's applicable to everybody, right? So they know that it works for them, but they probably won't even, they don't use it on their patients. Like telling them that they should use it on their patients blows their mind too. So, you know, it's, we have such a long way to go as far as the curriculum and being able to incorporate strength conditioning and these kind of basic movements in there. It's just not taught. It's just, you get so little of it and such out, so outdated.
How do you think you go about, like, how would you make change to do that? Like, how does that start?
Oh my goodness. I mean, I feel like what's happening now is just, you got to do it from a grassroots cultural shift level. Like we just got to start having the conversations with other PTs first, right? And just start showing that, or just talking about it. If we can just start talking about it at that, at some point, it's going to catch on and then it'll be more mainstream. And once it's mainstream, then we can start teaching it. But dude, we're probably 10, 15 years away from any kind of change like that. I think it's just, there's, it's That's just... Far. Well, the problem is, why do you go to PT school? You go to PT school to pass your boards, right?
Yeah,
right.
Less, yeah.
Yeah, I had this conversation with Quinn, and that's the issue is like, so you're going to study what's on the test. You think a proper hip hinge is going to be a question on a chiro board exam or a PT board exam?
But it should be. Not.
It should be, but I mean, dude, we're so far away from that because it's not conventional wisdom continues to be, you know, all the things that we're talking about, the misinformation that if you round your back, your disc is going to explode. You know what I mean? If you put your knees past your toes, you're going to tear your ACL. You know what I mean? That's still conventional wisdom, but that's got to change first. And then it can be part of educational curriculum.
Oh, 10 to 15 more years. I don't have the patience.
We quit. We're both. We're just going to be CrossFit coaches and trainers now.
It's okay. Oh, I can't deal with it.
You just got to go one at a time, man. That's just, if I can just affect one person, I'm going to be happy. That's the only way you can do it. You just got to be okay with that.
All right. So then let's talk about just PT patient treatment first. So the thing I've started to notice more and more, and I didn't realize this until recently, on how psyched you are or how much you're into or how much you know with regards to that whole, we'll call it that PT entrepreneurial group area or whatever.
Yep.
I didn't realize that was such a big aspect of you. So what if we had to choose one, if we got to a crossroad one day and it was like, you can treat patients forever or you can influence other PTs and help them grow their business, where would we go?
Oh my God, I can't do both. This is a world where I have to choose, is that correct?
You have to choose one, like which one gets you more excited?
Oh, dude, that's really hard. I would choose to do both, just for the record. But if I'll give you some reasoning as to, well, if I had to choose one, it'd be It'd be PT entrepreneurs because if I'm one person, I can only see so many patients in a week, in a day, right? If I can teach other PTs to do the same stuff that I do, now I can treat, essentially I can, by proxy, treat hundreds, thousands of patients a day.
Yeah.
So if that would be my reasoning to do that. It's tough though. Like I enjoy the treatment side. I don't ever want to lose that. But yeah, if I had to pick it for sure, it would be that because I feel like I can have a bigger influence and you know, help more people that way.
That was a really good answer. I've thought about it a lot. Like it was such a good answer. It was like a cop out where you're still doing both. It was a creative way to still do both. I like what you did there. It was really clever.
Yeah, I told you, I think about this stuff a lot, man. I'm at a crossroads now because we just hired a PT And I've got to peel my patient care back to 10 visits a week. I'm actually going to do that. I don't want to give it up because I also want to stay grounded. But, you know, I am going to start doing my PT entrepreneur stuff more. I really want to.
So I want to dive into this a little more here. Do we need to give some context to the listeners on like what PT entrepreneur is? If you give like an elevator pitch or a sentence on how to describe it?
Yeah, no, for sure. So Danny Matei and I just started a PT entrepreneur Facebook group, and let's just call it a movement. And it's a place where healthcare professionals can come in and, for the lack of a better word, try to take control of their profession back, right? So it doesn't necessarily have to be private pay, cash pay, PT in a gym, although that is our niche and that's what we're doing. But we're trying to just help people to realize that they have other options and they have more potential than they think that they have, right? That they can go out and they can create, carve out their own little piece of the world.
Yeah, I like that. So we were talking about this the other day, and I was actually blown away by it because I joined the Facebook group. And I was blown away by how many people were in there, how many questions were being asked, you know, and I kind of felt like the odd man out. Cause like, I was like, I don't know how many other chiropractors are in there.
Yeah.
And that kind of, we got into the discussion and you were like, we were saying that, you know, PTs, like they want this, they need this, they're asking questions, you know, and a lot of PTs are asking these questions about squatting, hip hinging, you know, strength training for their athletes, as opposed to, you know, we can call them the stork explanations that we used last week. Why do you think PTs are asking for this now? Like, why do you think they're having more people are asking these questions?
Because they're super frustrated. I think they realize that they go in and they start treating some of these patients and they're using TheraBands and they're doing manual treatments and they may not be getting the results and making the changes that they want. You know, that's one just on a clinical level. On an additional level, like I think it's also being driven by money and just the healthcare system. So if you have to treat 20 patients in a day, you have to do 3 to 4 hours of paperwork in a day, you are going to not enjoy your job, right? And so I just, you know, even if you love it, at some point that there's a burnout factor there. And so now also there's just more cash-based PT practices and we're more vocal about it. So we see 4 to 5 people a day. We spend a lot of time in the gym. We make health and lifestyle changes. And I think everybody understands that that's the way to true health. And so they didn't think it was possible. And now they see that it is possible. And so now they want to ask questions of how they can get there. And again, that's probably the PT entrepreneur movement is education on the business and the mindset and all that stuff, as well as the clinical stuff as well.
All right. I like that answer. That was another solid answer.
Oh man, I got okay. 2 for 2.
Oh man, these are so much more deeper answers. Like my answers, I feel like yeah, that sounds okay. I'll go with that.
Hey man, we got yin and yang. You're a lot funnier than I am. I'm too serious.
Yeah, default tacos. Or I'm just gonna handstand. Forget about this question Eve is asking.
There's nothing wrong with tacos, man.
So do you like the whole, you know, I've seen your office, you got a nice little office inside of a gym. Would the dream one day to be to like have, you know, is there an expansion on that? Do we have more locations? Do you just have your own massive, not real PT clinic? Like what does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, there's two things that we're doing right now. One is we're trying to create more of these micro practices like I have. So I have a small practice, you know, let's call it 100 or 200 square feet in a gym. That's an eval room. And then most of our treatment gets done at the gym. I think that's an amazing model. It's low overhead. Anybody can do it. And so I'm trying to create the Made to Move brand and create more people who want to do the same model as me. I'm going to give them the brand, going to give them the business systems. And I'd love to create more of those locally in the Charleston community. You know, we got probably 3, maybe 4 coming out hopefully this year.
Okay.
Yep. So that'll be a lot of fun. And I still think at some point, and I think Charleston can at some point support it, but I need to be in a better place business-wise. But I'd love to have a centralized location that's just honestly just a badass gym that has chiro, PT, possibly orthopedic or a DO, you know, multiple healthcare and fitness professionals. It's almost like a human performance lab or center where we all can kind of treat somebody from any point in the continuum and have all the services right there. Like, yeah, man, that's the dream. Like, that would be, God, that would be amazing. But it's probably tough to find that many people aligned. But it's doable, right? They're out there, you know, contact us anytime if you're out there.
If you need any good chiropractors, I'll be sure to let you know.
Oh man. Yeah. Well, we'll keep searching.
Oh man. I still, like, for whatever reason, I keep circling back to these PT student school questions.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, I actually got some, and I was blown away. I actually got a few messages on Instagram, like PT students saying they listened to the podcast. I was just like, oh man, we're really letting down these PT students. So I feel like I'm like naturally like going back to these questions.
Sure.
So I'm just curious, and it seems like you seem to know what you're doing here, more or less. So I'm going to go with your a decent source on this.
Okay, shoot. So
if you could add in one class for PT students, would you do strength and conditioning or treatment-based class, kind of your approach to treatment, or would you do more of an entrepreneurial class, you know, this is how you run a cash-based business, micro gym, kind of what you're talking about? What do you think PT students need to know more about at this point in time?
Man, you're great at asking questions, especially putting me like in a corner. So I would say the entrepreneurship stuff, right? Because the clinic side is, it's, you just can't force people into that. They need to have their own kind of like way to get there, right? I don't think you can force that on people. And that information's out there if you want to seek it out. The entrepreneurial stuff, man, that stuff's hard. Like, that takes a lot. That's like a mindset shift. Most people just don't understand that they have more control than they think they do. It's a huge mindset. So I would feel like getting more business and entrepreneurial training and mindset training would be the most beneficial to students for sure.
Okay, so that's coming to MUSC 2021, probably.
Yeah, man, I already did one. Like, they invited me for one lecture, dude. I went to town on health promotion.
Yeah,
but
they didn't boo you out.
They didn't boo me out. I didn't get a standing applause either. But you know, they asked a lot of questions afterwards. I'll take that as a good thing.
I wouldn't even make it through an entire lecture if I went to Sherman for a lecture. So it's okay.
Except if it was on handstands, then you could talk.
On handstands, that's totally different. It's like a non-biased topic. You know? Neutral ground, you know, we're good with that. So
got that one down pat. We're gonna work on it though, man. You're asking the right questions. I like it.
All right, so I want to know what, and you, and I'm gonna steal some years from last week because you got to go first here.
Sure.
I want to know the thing that annoys you the most. You know, you brought up, you know, like, and you were talking about like misconceptions. You know, you use the knees over the toes example. You know, I said mine was, you don't have to kill yourself when you work out to get a good workout.
Mm-hmm.
What is like a health and fitness, health and wellness misconception that just drives you insane?
Oh man, that one's easy. That movement, that any movement is in and of itself bad, right? Cool. So like,
yeah,
people think if I round my back, just like we talked about, something's going to happen. Or if my knees go over my toes, or even if I twist my knee in like that kind of ACL, like that's a bad movement. There is no movement that is inherently bad. Like, your body was made to move in different ways on purpose. Yes, we're made to move, people. I picked a good name, I swear. It comes up a lot in my, just naturally. But yeah, I mean, everyone's, and I still deal with it all the time. It's like, well, why are you going to do that? Or like, oh God, that's going to be bad. I'm like, why? Like, we have to really question, why is that bad? You know, like, even like sitting in a rounded posture, is that inherently bad? No. Is it bad if I do it 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week for 7 years straight? Yes, that is bad. But that movement in and of itself is not a bad thing. So, man, if we all understood that, we would make leaps and bounds, you know, forward.
That was another really good answer. I like that one. I feel like that puts my last week one to shame.
Stop it, man. Don't worry about it.
that's such a good answer.
I'm blushing on the other side of this. If you can't see the video, but you know, I'm blushing.
Not until I do some of my hair can we start doing video.
Dude, the samurai bun is legit. Go check that stuff out. I'm telling you, rebuild. I'm going to say it every year. The samurai bun is a whole new level. That and a handstand. You could have the blow your head emoticons everywhere.
We're going to have a hashtag for it soon.
Oh, yes.
All right. So a couple other just like random questions now.
Yep.
So everyone seems to have some sort of, or, you know, it's a big thing right now. Morning routine. Do you have any sort of even evening routine? Do we have any sort of routine in general? Is there anything you do like consistently, like wake up, meditate, hot shower, sauna, sit on top of a mountain, you know?
Man, I want to do that stuff so bad, and I really attempt. Like, I'd love to meditate every day. I'd love to go for an hour walk a day. I would love to, you know, read 10 pages of a book every single day. The consistency is not there. I mean, it's like consistent over a week, but it's not every single day. Like, it's just, there's too many irons in the fire. If I had my way, though, all those things would happen. I would say I probably consistently block off an hour of either workout or movement time every single morning. Like, you know, sometimes it's later, but 90%, like at some point I'm working out, I'm doing something every single day, you know? That's probably the most, and I mean, I put my kids to bed and take them to school every morning. So like that's, I try to block off time for family. You can't just squat all day, although that would be awesome.
That would be pretty awesome. So, I don't know if you can answer this question, but how many other PTs do you think are working out on a regular basis or training on a regular basis?
Dude, not even enough. Are you kidding me? Like, let's look at the statistics. Like, and I would assume PTs aren't any different. How many people are overweight and not exercising on a regular basis, right? It's like 60% of people are overweight, not exercise. You know what I mean? So like you can probably say the same thing for PTs, maybe a little bit less, but let's go 50%, right? So, you know, if I had to guess, I'd say 50%, if not less than that, we're probably working out and moving on a consistent basis, which sucks, but you know, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm trying to create awareness.
I think they need to add, and somebody put this as like a meme the other day, that I think it was with regards to, it might have been Ryan, with regards to classes, that all chiropractic schools should have a mandatory hour of strength and conditioning every day.
Oh.
They implement that at PT school as well?
Oh, for sure. I've been trying to do this forever. Like, there's a guy, Scotty Butcher. He's a PT in Canada. He's also a professor. And he brought the whole PT class in to do like a squat and deadlift seminar. And I've been begging MUSC to do me that. I'm still gonna keep hammering. I was like, just let all PT students, just, you know, first year, second, whatever, just come in 1 hour for their, you know, they have a, I don't know what they call it. It's not called strength and conditioning. It's called, you know, therapeutic exercise or something. And like, just let me teach a 1 hour class on the squat and the deadlift. Like, I think it'd be really beneficial. I agree with that completely, man. Like, we should all learn that. It should be honestly in grade school. Let's go on up, man. Like, everybody should learn how to squat, deadlift, hip hinge, lunge, pull, push, hell, handstand. I'm gonna.
Thinking like, you have kids. What do they do in gym class now? Do they do it?
They play dodgeball and soccer and basketball. Like, you know.
Play dodgeball? I don't think they use those like intense red balls anymore. I don't think they're allowed to.
Oh, right. Yeah. They're like imaginary balls at this point. It's like, oh, he got me. No, I think they still use like the real fluffy ones.
No one's allowed to be out because it's a negative connotation.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. We can probably do a whole podcast about that stuff, but let's not go there. Let's stay out of politics. Let's just talk about stuff we know.
It works. Right. All right. So, Instagram. So for you, I don't know about you, but for me, you know, first thing I do when I go on Instagram, or eventually, you know, I've got 3-4 people on Instagram. I regularly check their profiles. Like, they're the top 3 people that I have. Like, if I hit my search bar, you know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Who are your top 3? We'll say stalk. Who are the top 3 people you stalk on a regular basis on Instagram?
Oh man, that's a good question. I don't even know if I have a top 3, but for sure, number 1 is Quinn. Okay. The other one would be, it's another clinical athlete guy, like, Derek Miles. I stalk yours a lot. I like your handstand stuff, man. It just comes up a lot.
It goes up in your newsfeed.
Yeah. And let's go like Facebook too, cause that opens me up. Cause I don't do a ton of Instagram.
Why don't you say social media?
Yeah. Social media in general would be for sure. Let's say Quinn stuff, Greg Knuckles stuff. I like a lot. Okay. And then Greg Lehman stuff, the pain science stuff. Like,
yeah.
Those 3 are pretty huge for me. I like those a lot.
Okay, I like those. Those are good. So let's talk about something maybe not PT school related now or PT related, but that anyone could do. I think you asked me this last week too.
Okay.
So if we have random people in Charleston listening, what, as a physical therapist, what was the number one thing somebody should start doing today if they never want to see you in the office?
Lift something heavy.
Lift something heavy.
Lift something heavy and carry it around for 5 minutes, and then put it back down.
Oh, that's really anything. It doesn't need to be like a weight in the gym. It could be an animal or a child, preferably their child.
Yes. Yeah. As long as it feels heavy to them, right? Yes. I like farmer's care. It's like anybody can do it. You don't need to teach it. You just pick it up, you walk around with it, you put it back down. Like that's usually what we use here if we don't have time to get into hip hinging and squatting, because I think that stuff's a skill. So.
Ooh, I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a really good one.
I answered questions that I think about a lot. You know, I asked you questions that I think about a lot. So it's good I'm getting these back.
All right, top. So this is another one I need to know for me because I live downtown. Top three restaurants I want to go to in Charleston.
Oh, man. I heard Zero George is supposed to be amazing, although I've never been.
Okay.
And Husk for brunch. And
I haven't been there for brunch yet.
Oh, it's so good. Okay. And then Monero.
Ooh.
Have you been to a Monero? Tell me you've been to Monero.
Yeah, I've been to Monero.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, that would be, dude, we're getting a taco, high-end taco place on Daniel Island.
I know. We can start doing the podcast at the taco place on Daniel Island.
It might be a little loud, but we can try. We can try. I'm about to get it.
Good. And they're going to sponsor, they're going to be, we're going to, one of my goals in life is to have a taco sponsor. So this will be our,
That's actually not a terrible idea.
They can sponsor the podcast.
Yeah. And then just get, yeah, dude. Okay. We'll do it. I like it. They'll be starting out too. We'll be like, we have 40 listeners. Like, do you want those people in your restaurant or not, bro?
Oh, man.
That's good stuff.
All right. Favorite movie?
The Big Lebowski.
Ooh, how'd you... That's good. God, that's a good one. You didn't even hesitate. You were just like, bam.
Dude, it's the best movie of all time. Anytime a movie has its own fest, the Big Lebowski fest that's been going on for 15 years, I still haven't been. I want to.
I was about to say, have you been to it?
No, not yet. But like, I don't know. Me and my friends, we quote that movie all the time. It's just like, it's just ever classic. Like, it probably comes up at least once or twice a week where I'm quoting that movie. You can ask my employees.
So is that part of the hiring process? If you want to work at Made to Move, you need to be able to quote that movie.
Oh, you need to be able to quote some sort of movie, yeah. Or at least laugh when somebody else quotes a movie. If you can't understand that, yeah, you're not Made to Move material. Let me tell you that.
You're not Made to Move. Oh, man. All right, your theme song.
Oh, my God. You know what? Honestly, let's go with Damn It Feels Good to Be a Gangster.
Oh, that's
remember from Office Space, like Michael Bolton when he's in the car?
Have you seen Office Space?
Yes, that's where I got it from. That is such a good song. It's just like, if I had to walk out on stage, I feel like, that's just, it's the first thing that comes to my mind. I don't know if it's the best, but definitely the first one that comes to my mind. No time to think.
Favorite thing to treat?
Oh, knees, lately, honestly, shoulders right now, man. Like, shoulders, yeah, like... People just have a tough time. Like, we don't do anything overhead anymore. So, like, yeah. People just don't even know what it's like to lock out an elbow or get true shoulder range of motion. It's like, I've had anything from, like, you know, 7-year-old women to, like, 20-year-old, like, professional baseball players. And, like, I can treat them all the same, kind of with your little floor angel trick. Like, it's that stuff just opens people. And it's so easy, too. It's like, hey, here are these three things to do. And you're going to get better. I don't have to do anything else. Just go do these. And it's shoulders right now. It used to be knees because I had knee problems, but it's shoulders right now for sure.
You're saying people can safely raise their arms up overhead. That's okay.
Right. Even if they have a disc issue or a shoulder issue, you actually should lift your arms over your head completely. So.
Oh, man. All right.
Blowing minds.
I think I know the answer to this one. Favorite exercise is farmer's carries then in the gym?
Favorite exercise to give to patients or favorite exercise for me to do personally?
For you to do personally.
Oh, I love
it. Let's just take it one further. If you could do one exercise for the rest of your life.
Oh, squat. I'd squat every single day. I would squat heavy every single day. I just love it. There's something about it. I don't know why.
Is that front squat versus back squat?
Back squat. Back squat.
Back squat.
Back squat.
High bars?
Yeah, high bar. I don't do that low bar stuff, man. I can't. I mean, I've never tried, so maybe I shouldn't say that, but like, I've always learned high bar. It's more Olympic lifting style. Definitely high bar.
So sneakers, only lifting bare shoe.
Bare feet, man. There's no better way to work out than bare feet for sure. I mean, I like lifters sometimes, but just, I want to feel connected to Mother Earth.
Ooh, I like that. That's very hippie. That's very
organic. I got a little hippie in me, not much. A little hippie, a little nerd, a little of everything.
So I'm assuming you have PT students reach out to you on a regular basis, or you are influential to PT students?
I try to be, yeah. I mean, I definitely want the profession to go forward for sure.
But how would you, because this is a downfall for me. We talked about this last week, being positive or, you know, good, just the word I'm looking for, maybe not self-talk, not, it wouldn't be self-talk, it'd be, you know, talking to someone positively. How would you start the conversation with a PT student, you know, where you're trying to push them in the right direction, you know, but not like shoving it down their throat, forcing them, like, how what does that look like?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm doing for a Cairo student.
I think it's a great thing to talk about. I feel like if you go at it from the point of view of this worked for me, and all I want to do is I want to show you that this is an option for you, right? And I feel like that's the best way to go for, because you can't make somebody make a decision, right? Like, they're not, just because I want them to do it this way doesn't mean they're going to do it. They need to make, I've tried to force people to make decisions. Like, you know, if you want to get somebody to work out, like, you just can't make them work out. They have to make that decision for themselves. Or if they want to start rehabbing, they have to make that decision for themselves. All I can do is provide in a clear and concise way the information that they need. And that's what I do. I try to provide the information and let them make that decision. And then, you know, I honestly think the best way to, like, let's call it persuading people, is to tell people stories. So I tell them people stories of things that worked for me and how it worked. And usually that's the best way to kind of make an emotional hook to get somebody to create action.
Oh, okay. I like that. I'm glad I had to pull away from that rapid fire for a second, because I just thought about that one.
Yeah.
I'm just selfishly asking questions for myself here, not for anyone else.
Yeah. And that book that I told you to read, .com Secrets and Expert Secrets, talks a lot about using stories and how to, you know, how to consolidate all that stuff in your head. For sure. It's going to help.
All right. The favorite book.
Favorite book. Man, you know what? I don't know if I have a favorite book.
Last book you read then?
The last book. I'm reading Expert Secrets again right now. Okay, hold on. I got a good one. Mastery is a great freaking book, and it's one of my favorite books.
I can picture the cover. Is it a black cover with red?
Yep. It's a great book, right? It just shows people, like, everyone thinks that they just supposed to be mediocre, and like, to be amazing, you have to have like this innate talent, or you have to be this special person. It's like, no, it's like the person who puts the most work and most effort in is going to be a master of that craft and is going to create their own control. Like, and I that was one of those pivotal points for me when I read the book. I was like, man, like, it's not about like my genetics or like, if I'm lucky or not. It's like, literally, if I just keep putting time in, at some point, it's good things are going to happen. Like, it's literally that simple. And so that's a pivotal book for me, for sure.
Well, I'm getting that one next.
Yeah.
What podcast you listen to?
Besides this one?
Yeah, well, of course.
I listen to the PT Entrepreneur podcast a lot. I listen to Tim Ferriss's podcast a lot as well. So those are the top two for sure. Joe Rogan's is pretty awesome as well.
Okay. All right. We haven't covered favorite food yet.
Oh, snow crab legs are just,
ooh, wow, dude, that's so fancy.
All you can eat snow crab legs. Since I was a kid, like, whenever I would get straight A's, or if I got an A, I would never get straight A's. If I got one A, I was able to go get some crab legs. So that's
last one. Will you ever leave Charleston?
Well, maybe.
If so, where would that maybe be to?
San Diego, man. I just visited there like 2 months ago. It's like, it's gorgeous. There's no bugs and there's no humidity. And there's hills. So that's nice. But I don't know, Charleston, it's obviously, being born and raised, you know, living on Daniel Island, and just like, we went to Waterfront on Sunday and my daughter like went out there and danced with some of those hip hop dancers for 45 minutes straight. It's going to be tough to leave this town, man. There's just good food, good, you know, good people. So
probably Instagram story where that guy jumped over like 8 kids.
Yeah. I probably would always have, yeah, it was freaking amazing. If, I would always have a home base here. I feel like, even if I left, like, it's just like, you know, I would, if I had some flexibility and I had a little more cash in the bank, I definitely would, you know, have multiple houses and would always have a house in Charleston, you know?
I like it. I like it. All right. That's all I got for you, buddy. You know, I'm not going to talk about handstands or anything with you.
Yeah.
We We can save that for another episode.
Oh yeah. Episode 10, we some sort of anniversary episode just about handstands. How long can we physically go to just talk about handstands? I bet we could go an hour, but that's fine.
Oh, I could easily talk for an hour about handstands. That'd be totally fine.
Awesome.
I don't know if anyone would listen for an hour on handstands.
I think we'd both be surprised. All right, man. Well, thanks a lot. And yeah, everybody stay tuned. Next week, we're going to actually have Robert Van Newkirk, a CrossFit Discovery on Daniel Island and downtown owner, on the podcast. And we're gonna grill him on all things CrossFit. And just so you know, he was an actor and he was in a movie with Mystical and he was on Jeopardy. So I think it's going to be a really fun one. You should totally listen to it. I'm not just going to talk about squatting and handstands, although that's going to come up, but we'll talk about Pauly Shore, because he has stories about Pauly Shore apparently. So it'll be a fun one next week.
Oh man. First of all, this is all knowledge to me. I did not know Robert was coming on.
Yep.
I did not know any of those things about Robert, so I am that much more excited now. Oh. I'm going to listen to this podcast.
You'll be in the podcast and listen to it twice.
I can't wait.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys and gals. See you next time.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.